what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at Eddie Experience. With me, as always, the man who was also fooled by HBO's John Oliver into promoting false health products, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, our people at K-View aren't looking too smart this week. And if you haven't seen that, you should check it out. It's a little embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't love that. I hear they got the people in Utah, too. So my people here, my people in Utah, that's not always my favorite thing to see.
So you're the common denominator again.
I guess it's me. It's
causing trouble everywhere you go.
There we go. Eddie, you can find me at Fight Night. You can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. And Eddie, this is show 320. Is this show 328? That seems like we've already passed that. That's crazy.
No, it's like 332 or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, we've been doing this for a while. What a fun time, Eddie.
Yeah. It's, man, what is that, like 7 years?
I mean, it's a long time. It's not 7 years. It's a long time. But Eddie, I've got some news for you.
Oh, okay.
And this is, Eddie actually doesn't know this news. So this is not like we talked about this before the show. But Eddie, I'm
live radio.
I'm moving.
What? You're leaving the Cedar Park Castle?
I am leaving Cedar Park.
Well, you're actually leaving Cedar Park itself.
Yeah, I'm leaving Cedar Park. It's been fun. I've enjoyed living here, and unfortunately, it's time for me to move on.
Well, as long as you don't take my Vince Young football with you, where are you headed?
I'm heading about 2.4 miles away from my house to the great city of Leander, Texas.
Leander. You had to get further away from
us. So a little bit further away. But if you can get up 183 and over to Whitestone, you won't have to go up Lakeline to see me. You can get close to the house just probably pretty much the same amount of time from your house.
Man, seriously, before lockdown, I had just finally memorized your subdivision.
Yeah.
And now I got to learn another one.
You're going to have to learn another one, yes. But it's going to be great.
I do not enjoy driving around randomly in suburban subdivisions for obvious reasons. Like, no, that's the wrong house. Don't pull in that driveway. Why are there cops here?
And you're like, wait, this is Jordan's house. Wait, no, I'm his friend.
No, he don't ask him, really.
No,
call my lawyer.
It's going to be great. We're excited. We'll find out. We'll probably move. We close on the house in June. But we will actually move, I think, in August. So
Now some real estate questions for you.
Sure. I hope you put your house on the market.
You haven't put your house on the market yet, have you?
It will be on the market this weekend.
I was going to say you might want to wait because they go real fast.
They do go real fast, but I need it to go real fast because I need to close.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It is almost June.
I need that money, Eddie.
You do need that money. Now, how long was the house that you bought on the market?
It was on the market for 10 days.
Oh, that's long by Austin standards.
It was long by Austin standards. And so they wanted their, their biggest and best deal offer by last week. And we found out that our offer was I don't know if it was the biggest, but it turns out it was the best.
And I'm not going to ask how much over you had to bid, you had to go over, didn't you?
I did not go over at all.
You're kidding me.
No, I think it was priced...
Well, you are going out there in the boonies.
Yeah, it was priced a little high in general, so I didn't have to go. I didn't go over at all.
Okay. Well, good for you.
So, yeah, thankfully, yeah. So we're good. And so we'll have some fun, Eddie. I'll have to have you come out, and when we get everything situated, and maybe we'll see in a couple years when everything's done.
I was going to say, don't ask me to help you pack or unpack.
Nope.
I'm going to be busy that day.
Yeah, no, of course. We've got people for that, Eddie.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
I have children. That's why I have children.
That is why you have children. Yeah. No more just raising the barn and feeding the sheep.
Drake will be carrying a box. I think we might get chickens at some point. It's very exciting.
Let me tell you, I would advise against that.
Okay. Well,
they're kind of stinky.
Yeah.
Kind of stinky, kind of loud. Yeah. It sounds like a good idea with fresh eggs and all that, but... Take it from someone from the country.
Okay. Lots of options.
It's not worth it.
Very
not
excited.
Worth it, yeah.
So
just go to the store.
Well, great, Eddie. What is going on with you? I'm sorry to just drop this bomb on you right now. I mean, I know it was devastating for you, and then it turns out all you really cared about was your Vince Young football.
Yeah, it means it might finally get my ball, seeing as you didn't go to UFC 262.
Yeah,
and present it to me in person. So maybe I'll actually get it. But no, it's a great time to be a Longhorn, speaking of Vince Young and my signed football. Texas sports are ruling the spring here, Jordan. And you know, we are the official Longhorn station. So you can hear baseball, softball, basketball, football. I don't think we do rowing or tennis on air, but you know, the main sports that are very broadcastable. So women's tennis just won the national championship. Men's swimming won the national championship. Women's volleyball lost in the national championship. Baseball won the Big 12. They're ranked number 2 in the country. Softball is on to their second straight Super Regional. Rowing, Big 12 champions. Men's tennis made the Final Four. Women's basketball made the Elite Eight. Men's golf won the Regional. Women's golf, they won their Regional. They're in the National Championship right now. Both Trek squads swept the Big 12. And women's swimming and diving won Big 12 and finished third at Nationals.
That's exciting.
We are killing spring sports, man.
Congratulations to the University of Texas. That's fantastic.
Now if new coaches in football and basketball doing good job on the recruiting trail, if they can bring themselves up there in the fall, we'll just keep running the world and have everyone hating us like the Empire in Star Wars.
There we go. Well, Eddie, that's exciting, man. That's a fun time. I'm guessing you watched all that. Anything? What else have you done? I see you're in a 311 shirt. I know that you're going to... did you buy tickets for the 311 concert coming up here in Austin yet?
Oh, of course I did.
Okay.
Yeah, like 2 days before they went on for the actual sale.
Well, I mean, obviously, Eddie, you went on a cruise with them. I'm sure you get pre-sales.
Yeah, I got the pre-sale. And then at the same time, actually, I ended up buying my Red Rocks tickets before my Austin tickets went through.
Okay.
Because for some reason, the dang laptop wouldn't go through on Ticketmaster, but on my phone it would go through. So I lost two sets of tickets on my laptop when it finally went through on my phone.
Now, Eddie,
weird,
when you go to these concerts, are you like in the pit? Are you trying to like mosh with people? Do they still do that?
No. There's a pit, but not much moshing. Just more just like people like on the rail, just dancing and having a good time. I did it actually right before lockdown. Went to Lake Charles for Mardi Gras. It was the first time I was on the rail in probably 10, 15 years. And let me tell you, my knees let me have it.
So the first time you did a rail in 10 to 15 years,
no,
Eddie, I don't think that's something we talk about on this show. Like,
if I get in trouble, I still know where you live and you haven't moved yet.
No, that's not true. We know Eddie
but
does
no,
not
I,
do that.
I go for the seats because I'm old and my knees are beat up.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, that's fine.
Red Rocks, I'm looking forward to.
Well, that'll be great, man. That is exciting. Eddie, there was fights again this weekend. And let me tell you, I am getting to be an old man. Summer swim has started. And as you know, I think I've talked about this before. Summer swim is early. It's early on Saturday mornings. Like, be there at like 6, you know, 6 at the latest, you know, 4:30, 5. Have your kids check in at 5:30. And it was raining. I don't know if you remember that. It was raining all day Saturday. So that didn't help.
I slept for about half of that.
I was exhausted. And by the time, my wife went to bed. I think she went to bed around 8:30. And so I was trying to watch UFC.
How old are y'all?
I mean, maybe it was 9 o'clock. But the fights were early, right? So there was like going on at that time. And so as I was trying to sit down and watch Carlos Barza versus Jan Schoenan, I was dozing. I was dozing off and I came back and like something else was on my TV. And then I was like, oh, wait, let me rewind it. Then I saw her.
You dozed off during the only finish of the main card.
And then I went back and I was like, oh, wait, I'm watching this. And then I was like, so I finally found that, watched that fight. And then I tried to watch Rob Font versus Cody Garbrandt. And somehow, like, my ESPN Plus went to soccer later. Like, 2 hours later, I had fallen asleep. And I have no idea. I couldn't hang, man. I'm getting old. I can't hang with these guys. But I finally went back. I woke up. I watched it the next day. So let's talk about it. Let's talk. You had Rob Font defeating Cody Garbrandt via decision. Lots of decisions on this fight card. I think there was, on the main card, right, there was only that one. You mentioned Carlos Barza. Before, you had Ben Rothwell. He got a submission. You had Bruno Gustavo da Silva. He had a KO win right in the first round there. And then David, is it Vark versus
Dvorak?
Okay. He had a submission as well. But let's talk first. Rob Font defeating Cody Garbrandt. Give me your take, Eddie.
And first off, Rob Font looked really, really good. He had about a six-inch reach advantage. So he was snapping that jab like crazy. And I don't want to take anything away from him because he did look really good. And this is, I'm not going to say it's a star-making performance, but it really like put him in the conversation as far as the title picture goes. But Cody Garbrandt just did not look like Cody Garbrandt.
Especially not the Cody Garbrandt from the Dominic Cruz fight, right? When he's, you know,
right,
roboting, dancing, like, and moving all around.
He's like breakdancing on him. Yeah. I mean, I know he had like three really bad knockout losses before he finally came back and got that big win over, was it Asuncao?
Yeah, knocked out Asuncao last year.
But you got to wonder what the bout that he had with COVID, because it was apparently pretty bad. You got to wonder what effect that had on him, in addition to the damage that he had taken before, what that does to his psyche. So, you know, it's not the same guy that we knew back then. But I don't want to take anything from Rob Font, because he beat the guy in front of him. That's all you can ask him to do. But you got to wonder what's up with Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, because Cody Garbrandt faded, right? He faded with energy. But you can't say that he was winning those. I mean, I saw one judge gave him an early, you know, the first round. But the other two, you know, it was a straight, you know, all rounds for Rob Font on two of the three scorecards. I don't want to take anything away from Cody Garbrandt, because Rob Font, from the beginning to the end, he put on a great performance. He won, you know, on my scorecard, he won all five rounds. But this was a huge win for Rob Font. He now has wins over Marlon Moraes. We mentioned, you know, obviously this is the Cody Garbrandt fight. Current Bellator bantamweight champion, Sergio Pettis. Ricky Simon is also on that four-fight win streak he's on right now. It was just all around just really impressive. And you saw Cody Garbrandt, like, take him down, right? Kept trying to take him down. He mentioned he's a high school wrestler. But Rob Font looked good everywhere. And so you got to think, like, what's next for Rob Font? You know, he's not going to get next for the title. Piotr Jan versus Aljamain Sterling, that's the fight that needs to happen as long as Aljamain Sterling is healthy. We know he just had neck surgery. If he can't come back in a timely way, maybe somehow he jumps in there. But we know that Corey Sandhagen versus TJ Dillashaw, that was already booked for July 24th. So rescheduled for then. It's hard to say that if Sandhagen defeats Dillashaw, he's not going to get a title shot. And on the flip side, TJ Dillashaw, who never lost the title, if he defeats Corey Sandhagen, who we both think is the clear number one contender, hard to deny him as well. So that kind of leaves Rob Font out there in no man's land. What do you think we do with him?
And I think Jose Aldo just signed him for a fight too.
Yep, Pedro Munhoz.
Yeah. So that makes it real tough.
Yeah, if you look at the top 10, right? So you got Piotr Jan. We got Aljo as the champion. Piotr Jan. Then you have Corey Sandhagen, then Rob Font. You've got Cody Garbrandt as four. Jose Aldo's five. Marlon Moraes is six. He just beat him in the last fight. Frankie Edgar. I don't want to do that to Frankie Edgar. You got Pedro Munhoz, who is, we mentioned, is fighting Jose Aldo. Dominic Cruz. And then Merab Dvalishvili is 10. So there's your top 10 right there. I would think,
and you know,
that
he doesn't want to fight down.
Well, I think you could. Well, you, there's not really any option to fight
up. You have to.
The only way that you could say, hey, fighting down would be fighting a name. And the two names on there, obviously, are Frankie Edgar and Dominic Cruz. I would think that you put a fight against Dominic Cruz. It's a name. He stays busy. And if he can beat Dominic Cruz, then, you know, that's just actually another star-making performance for him, or another opportunity to fight and to beat a former champion if he does win.
Might be even more of a star-making performance. Because, as we say, Cody Garbrandt, it's not like he was on a roll.
Yeah.
You know? So, and Dominic Cruz is one of the biggest names ever, especially with all the time that he spends on TV, too. So, yeah, that would be huge. But then, like you said, not many other options for him at the moment.
I see Frankie Edgar, and that one kind of stands out to me, and I don't love that one just because we saw what Corey Sandhagen did to Frankie Edgar. And I don't love that.
No, let's not do that to our favorites and our idols.
Yeah. What do we do about what do we do about Cody Garbrandt, though? Like, this is a rough performance for him. He had the win over Asuncao, but prior to that, so he had that win. Prior to that, was it three losses in a row? Was it Pedro Munhoz and TJ Dillashaw twice? He had never been finished before.
Yeah, three knockouts in a row.
Yeah. So, excuse me, he had never lost by decision before. Prior to this one, he had been finished, Dillashaw twice, and Pedro Munhoz. But what do you do with Cody Garbrandt?
And the funny thing is he was talking about going down and challenging for the flyweight title. That's definitely out of the question now. But watching him at bantamweight, I'm thinking, I don't want him fighting at flyweight because those guys are even faster. And he got hit way too much as it was. And I told you last week that you don't really understand how fast, especially these bantam and flyweights, are until you see them in person. And, man, Davison Figueiredo, he does not throw feathers.
Yeah. I will tell you, though, Eddie, that what this does make me excited, maybe you do the loser. Maybe you do loser of Sandhagen versus Dillashaw versus Cody Garbrandt. Maybe you do the loser of or maybe you do Jose Aldo at some point, if depending on what happens with the Pedro Munhoz fight. I don't want him to fight Pedro Munhoz again. But could you do the TJ Dillashaw trilogy now? I don't know. I mean, it depends on what happens in Sandhagen fight. But, you know, you might as well you take advantage of it while you can if both guys are on a different trajectory.
And normally I would say that TJ has no reason to even bother with that trilogy. But considering the suspension he's coming off of.
Well, if they both lose. Take what they give you. If they both lose. If Dillashaw loses to Sandhagen, then maybe you do something. You put him against Garbrandt in that trilogy fight then. So. All right, Eddie. In the co-main event, we talked about this. This was an option, an opportunity for the winner to get to maybe fight Rose Namajunas for a title shot for the, I think, strawweight title. Carla Esparza defeating Sean Shonan. She defeated her, just bludgeoned her. Second round TKO. This was a great performance for Carla Esparza.
This was a mauling. And Shonan talked about how, you know, everyone's game plan is to take her down. But not everyone can wrestle like Carla Esparza. You know, you got a lot of grapplers, a lot of jiu-jitsu fighters. But how many strawweights are actually college wrestlers? Like one. And that's Carla. And yeah. She showed the difference Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, this was really impressive to see her as she's continued to grow in her career. You know, she has, I think, she had a couple losses that, you know, obviously weren't great. I want to say it was like Claudia Gadelha and Tatiana Suarez.
You kind of really almost forgot about her after Joanna beat her. Because yeah. She beat her so bad.
Since then, though, I mean, since she lost to Tatiana Suarez, she's come back. She's won five in a row. Wins over Marina Rodriguez, Michelle Watterson, Alexa Grasso, and now Xiaonan. That's a really impressive resume, especially with what we just saw from Marina Rodriguez a few weeks ago against Michelle Watterson, especially what we think of Michelle Watterson, and that, you know, Xiaonan was undefeated going into this fight, and we thought that she might be someone that the UFC could push forward. Also, remember, she's the inaugural UFC Women's Strawweight Champion. She defeated Rose Namajunas back in 2014 at the Ultimate Fighter finale. It would be an interesting fight to see a rematch, to see has Carla improved, has Rose improved. Because, you know, for a while we thought that these two went on much different trajectories, right? Rose was kind of going to the moon, and Carla was just kind of there.
Yeah, and, you know, no one's more upset about it. Well, the only person more upset about Jan Shannon losing than Jan is Dana White. Because, you know, he really wanted to be able to push the Chinese market and have another Chinese challenger for the belt and possibly another Chinese champion after Zhang Weili lost. And now that she just basically got sense of the depths of hell by Carla Esparza, and then Zhang being knocked cold by Rose, you would think that this rematch would make the perfect sense because you've already got this story in there from their time on The Ultimate Fighter. You know, Rose wants her redemption. Maybe Carla becomes the second person to regain her title after losing it. But Dana, being Dana, didn't want to give that at the moment. Give that match to Carla on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Because he's still fiending for that Chinese market. And the problem is, last time we saw Zhang Weili, she was being crumpled like a paper bag by Rose's right foot, I believe.
Yeah. No, I know what you're, and I know that's your thought, right? And we talked about this right after the fight. And still, and Dana White came out, like you mentioned, on Saturday night and said, hey, he's not sure what's next for Rose Namajunas. But obviously, we know it's between those two. You could definitely do that, right? You could put Carla in there for the next fight and make, you know, Zhang Weili win a fight. So,
yeah. Now, as an Endeavor stockholder, I'm thinking maybe we do want that Chinese market.
Maybe that's there you go. So,
but as a fan of the sport, I'm like, give Carla her shot. She's earned it.
Yeah. Hey, just a quick couple hits. Jack Hermanson defeats Edmund Shahbazyan. That was a fight that was supposed to be last week. Second loss in a row for Shahbazyan. And then,
hey, what's up with your boy?
And then head movement. Not enough. Hermanson gets back
on track
after losing to Marvin Vettori. New contender, Eddie, at 145 pounds, Norma Dumont defeats Felicia Spencer. Now, I think she's really going to be next. She's going to defeat... Actually, I don't even believe that. She's not going to beat Amanda Nunes. She's not a contender for 145.
No, so she went from unranked at 145 to first at 145 because there's only three people at 145?
And I think Megan Anderson is not even with the company anymore either, so...
No, she was doing commentary for Invicta.
Oh, okay. There you go. Ben Rothwell defeated UFC newcomer Chris Barnett by guillotine choke. And I think
that was kind of a fun fight. A couple of fat guys throwing haymakers. Speaking of fat guys throwing haymakers, the fight of the night, Jared Vandera versus Justin Taffa. That was a fun heavyweight matchup.
Nice.
I mean, bloody. Vandera ended up with this huge gash on his forehead. Luckily, it was kind of on the side, so it didn't go into his eyes, so they got to finish the fight. Yeah, that one was kind of fun, if you like blood.
Yeah.
If you use sick puppies.
Awesome. Hey, let's jump over. Let's go to Bellator 259. Chris Cyborg defeats Leslie Smith via fifth-round TKO with only 9 seconds left. And when you look at that on paper, you're like, oh, my gosh, what happened? This is the end of Chris Cyborg going the distance almost with Leslie Smith. Then you watch it, and you're like, wait a minute. It just seems
this is
like
Chris Cyborg playing with her food.
Yeah,
it's like you could tell there were a few times during the fight where if she had pressed, she probably could have gotten the finish. But apparently she said she wanted to go the 5 rounds, get some extra cage time. What's up with that?
Yeah, she said that was the plan, right? To get a little bit more cage time. You got to think, though, I mean, everyone gets old. We talked about it before that we get old, right? And that happens.
Look at all that gray hair you got there, buddy.
There is a lot of gray hair. But, you know, Chris Cyborg still there and still the champion over in Bellator. But still, I mean, I don't think she's going to get old against Leslie Smith.
No, and what is she, like, only like 35, 36 now? So she's not that old.
A lot of miles.
And she's still
though.
Just a lot of miles, but most of those miles are on her fists and not on her face.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because she does all the damage.
Yeah, after the fight,
and
she
in this
called,
case, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, after the fight, she called out Kat Zingano. Zingano on a 2-fight winning streak over in Bellator. I don't hate the call out, Eddie. I mean, it's the best that Cyborg can actually face in Bellator. So, and Scott Coker did seem like he wasn't sure if that was the fight he was going to make next, which that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Of course, it's the fight he's going to make. He's trying to play like Dana White. Oh, we don't make fights. So, yes, you do. You have people come into the cage and face off all the time after fights in Bellator. Why did you not have Kat Zingano there?
Yeah, no, you should.
You know she's next.
Yeah. Hey, what'd you think about Mr. Paige VanZant and Austin Vanderford?
Oh, that dude's a beast. We're going to talk about bloody. I mean, that fight was just ugly. And I was heard, was it Luke Thomas, I believe, talking about how Fabian Edwards is one of the best wrestlers coming out of England as far as MMA goes lately. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's not saying much now, is it? He got just taken down and demolished.
Yeah. It's surprising, though, that he still is not in, well, he wasn't signed by the UFC after he, you know, he got a finish on Dana White's Contender Series. He's 11-0 now. You think maybe Dana just, you know, already knew that Paige was a little bit too much to handle?
Well, I think the problem is that he's so wrestling heavy that Dana just was bored.
Yeah.
Because we know he's released fighters on winning streaks for that before. So without any stand-up action, Dana doesn't want him. Maybe now after seeing pictures of him covered in blood, he might say yeah. But I doubt it.
Yeah. Valerie Lareda, she lost. I didn't expect that to happen. Hannah Guy defeats her by unanimous decision. I thought she took it well, though. I thought she's been, you know, hasn't shied away from it. Been on social media, but that social media where she goes for the, was that a spinning kick, and then she just gets taken down right then.
Yeah, luckily her corner, apparently it's a pretty good corner. They're telling her to stop all the spinning crap, which was good because she was way tired. It looked really bad on her part, but her defense was good. She showed great ground defense. I think guy sprained her elbow when she almost popped it out of socket on the ground, but she did a good job getting out of that. Actually dropped Guy in the first. But actually, like you said, on social media, she kind of went Sage Northcutt style. It's like, hey, I'm only 22. I'm still learning, still growing. Gonna be back.
Good for her.
She's got her arm in a big cast. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, stop the spinny crap. And don't throw lazy punches and kicks.
Yep. Hey, Eddie, you mentioned that Megan Anderson was the commentator on Invicta. I did not watch Invicta over the weekend. Did you get a chance to watch it on Access TV?
Saw a little bit of it, but I can tell you that Karina Rodriguez won the the vacant flyweight title, and Alicia Zapatella, defended her atomweight title. Both of them went the distance. It was all right. Yep. Not bad to watch. I'm just glad to actually have to be able to see it, you know, in real time and not have to, like, search for it and find it streaming and order Fight Pass and jump through hoops to find it.
Sure.
Like, there it is on Access. Thank you.
Well, Eddie, I will tell you, on Saturday night, what I did watch Josh Taylor defeat Jose Ramirez via unanimous decision. I might have faded out in the later rounds, but I did see the knockdowns in the sixth and seventh round. That was impressive. He's now the undisputed champion at the light welterweight division.
Junior welterweight. I think they said it's like only the sixth undisputed champ in the modern era, which is amazing. It was also annoying because of the way the boxing handles things. But it's funny, Taylor's Scottish, and they call him the Tartan Tornado, which is a horrible nickname in the first place. But now they need to change his name to the Highlander because there's only one champion at junior welterweight. Is that better than Tartan Tornado?
Probably not.
Yes, it is. You know it is.
They say that.
But he's got some interesting matchups. A lot of people might be coming up from like 135 or so to face him.
Yeah,
so
he might be going up. He might be going up, right? So they say that his mandatory defense should be set against Jack Catterall. But Top Rank, I've heard that they might have some interest in getting Bud Crawford in there. He's got a contract ending in, I think, October with Top Rank. And so they may look to go that route before that happens. So, Eddie, that is Bellator UFC Boxing Invicta. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? You, yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Welcome back to 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm Eddie, that's Jordan. You're listening to Fight Night. Now, Jordan, this past weekend was the actual season finale of Saturday Night Live, hosted by Anya Taylor-Joy, who I don't think I had really seen before.
I told you.
But it turns out she was
Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, she was apparently born in Miami, raised in Argentina and England. So when she started speaking Spanish, I was like, all right, I'm a fan. You won me right there.
There you go.
Yeah. Let me tell you, the last couple weeks have been some of the best they've had all season. So last week with Keegan-Michael Key, this weekend, the Hollywood Square sketch.
I think that was my favorite sketch.
Oh, my goodness. That one had me rolling. The Angels Creating Man. I'm like, yes, we don't make much sense at all. The Celtic Woman thing, if you've never seen that like on PBS, you don't understand. But that one had me rolling, too. Weekend Update, where they write the jokes for each other.
Yep. That made me laugh out loud.
Yeah. And then
I LOL'd, Eddie. I LOL'd.
Did you LOL?
I did. Did you ROFL? Yes, I did. I ROFL'd.
Did you LMAO? How's your A?
I did not. That's too far.
Okay. Just had to make sure. Now, on to the business, Jordan. In a swerve, Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury is now set for July. What the heck's up with that?
Yeah, this is on us, right? So last week we came out here, we said, look, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, Saudi Arabia, we're just waiting for an official announcement. And then last week, some judge had to come in and screw it all up. So an arbitration judge ruled in favor of Deontay Wilder and his team over a contract dispute that said that Wilder was owed a trilogy bout against Fury. So Team Wilder, they enacted that rematch clause right after Fury's win last year. But obviously because of the pandemic, that never happened, right? And so Fury's team thought that, hey, because that time is extended, they thought it was only going through December of last year, that they were able to move on. They wouldn't have to have that trilogy match and they could actually open the door for Tyson Fury to fight against Anthony Joshua for the undisputed heavyweight championship. So instead of that happening, a judge ruled in favor of Fury, And then on Saturday night, you had Tyson Fury.
Wilder.
What's against
the judge ruled in favor of Wilder, yeah.
Yes. And so now on Saturday night during the Taylor Ramirez fight, Fury jumped on the set. He announced that the contract's been signed. They're going to be fighting on July 24th. It's going to be in Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium, home of the Las Vegas Raiders, which obviously if that happens and we
see... You got to go, Jordan.
Well, I actually will be in Vegas that week, so I'm thinking about it. But if we are going to be, you know, doing fights in Allegiant Stadium, you got to think that Ngannou versus Jones, that's the place to do it.
Oh man. Don't... Parts of me are moving now when you say things like that.
They still think, though, that Fury versus Joshua is going to happen eventually. Obviously, both guys have to win their fights. One other thing to note, though, is that now that Fury versus Joshua isn't happening next, the WBO has denied Eddie Hearn's request to delay negotiations for Anthony Joshua's mandatory title defense against Alexander Usyk. So now it seems like Joshua has to fight someone in between as well.
Now, let me tell you, I understand what Wilder's doing. He wants that one back. He really hated his performance, and it was ugly. But business-wise, I think it's dumb. He could have demanded step-aside money, and they say they wouldn't have paid him, but they would have paid him. Or he could have just waited for this one to flesh itself out and fought the winner. You know, just negotiate that in. It's like, all right, I'll get out of the way, but I get the winner. And he could also use that time to, let's just say, actually improve. But instead, he's going to jump back in with the guy who basically ripped him a new one a year ago. All right, dude. Good luck. Make lots of money. Bring it back to America if you can. But I
don't wear
put my money
a
on him
super
yet.
Heavy, you know, ring entrance with gear. Okay.
That too. Yes. Yeah. Don't dance either. But you know, it's funny. We make fun of boxing for these doing this to our championships, but now we're still not getting Ngannou Jones. So. Can we really make fun of boxing that much?
Yes, Eddie, we can. We definitely can, and here's why.
We can definitely be upset.
Let me hear your next... Yeah. Let's hear the next what up with that, and then we can make fun of boxing again.
just gag me. What is this? Gag me with a spoon? Is that the saying? The Paul brothers just won't go away, Jordan. They're like a bad itch. What's up with that?
Yeah, so we're a couple weeks away. Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather, June 6th in Miami. I do want to read this quote, though, from Floyd Mayweather. He told Barstool Sports, he says, there's no strategy for the Logan Paul fight. I've got to show up. If I want it to go one round, it'll go one round. If I want it to go two, it'll go two. It's all up to me. So this was after the gotcha hat incident that he did this interview. So we thought that this was going to be an angry, this was like the same day. You thought we'd have an angry Floyd and someone who's really motivated. Gosh, I mean, maybe he doesn't, but does he really need to be motivated? But regardless, Logan Paul was asked by Mauro Ranallo about, hey, are you ever going to fight in MMA? And he said, yes, I think I'd probably be better at MMA because of my wrestling background. I will say it's a tough sport. It's harder than boxing. MMA fighters are legitimate all around 360-degree fighters. I've had some knee issues on both knees, and it's rough on the body. But I can't not do at least one MMA fight before I die. At least one. If I win, I'd probably do another. Now, I don't know much about the Paul brothers, but like, this kind of makes sense. And this was like a level-headed response from Logan Paul. This was not like the gotcha hat, idiotic response that we get typically from Jake Paul.
Yeah, I actually do know that Logan Paul did wrestle in high school. So when he says that, he's not just making that up. He does have a wrestling background. And he's actually also the bigger of the brothers, too. So, you know, as long as he didn't like jump straight to the UFC, I'd be, yeah, go ahead, knock yourself out. Let's see him in LFA. Let's see him in CFFC or Titan. Like, yeah, go for it. So they're guys, they're just waiting to rip your new one.
Well, if he's only wants to fight one fight, I mean, do you think that Dana White and the UFC would sign him? I mean, they signed CM Punk. They signed James Toney. Could they be in the Logan Paul? But honestly, like, Logan Paul is signed right now with Showtime, so maybe it's Bellator. Bellator is on Showtime. Maybe he signs with Bellator.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Because Bellator, they're not above a 0-0 fighter on their broadcast. They've done that plenty of times before. And this is going to be lots of eyeballs. So, yeah, Showtime didn't sign him for no reason. So, yeah, if there was any place it was going to happen, that would be my guess. Yeah. Maybe kick off the card for one of their Bellator pay-per-views. Bellator 302. So it's going to be a while if it does happen. Yeah. So let's not even act like this is around the corner.
Yeah. Hey, one other thing about Showtime. In a surprising move, Triller lost the problem child, Jake Paul. He actually now signed with Showtime Sports. Maybe this legitimizes, you know, Jake Paul just a little bit. They can put him on some, you know, Showtime pay-per-views and actually get him in there with some other boxers that are real. So we'll see what happens for Jake Paul.
Triller might be having some money issues. Seems like people don't want to sign with him. Maybe they haven't paid a few people. So, yeah, it's not surprising the way that they were just throwing around money for their production in the last couple shows. Maybe that's why Oscar needs to fight again. Who knows? But you know who's not going to fight again, Jordan? Is the Irish Dragon, Paul Felder. What's up with that?
Yeah, so on the broadcast on Saturday night, Paul Felder announced that he's retiring from fighting. He's 17-6 overall and 9-6 in the UFC. I just want to mention kind of what he said on the broadcast, right? He says that this, you know, he sounded very mature. He says he doesn't see himself as a title contender anymore, and he doesn't see himself in that title picture in the next, you know, year and a half, 2 years. And he wants to step away. He apologized to the guys behind him that he was holding up. He said, hey, there's probably other fighters out there that should do the same thing, who are just holding on. He said he's been contemplating retirement after going down to the New Zealand to fight Dan Hooker back in, I think, February of 2020. He got a little fire back when he fought RDA in 5 days' notice. But obviously, he's not going far away, right? He's going to be a broadcaster still. We're going to see him. He does a very good job there. But I thought it was a really mature kind of statement and retirement for Paul Felder.
It was. You have to tip your hat to him. But I feel he was a little too hard on himself, saying he held up the division. Now, we know who held up the division. That was Khabib. That was Conor. It's nothing that Paul Felder did down at ranked number 9 that held up the division. So don't put all the blame on yourself there, Paul. And it was fun watching you, and it'll be fun watching you in the future. Now, speaking of the future, Tatiana Suarez is planning to return later this year. What's up with that?
Yeah, we talked about Tatiana a little bit earlier when we talked about Carla Esparza, right? Because she has a win over Carla Esparza. But she's coming back. But instead of fighting at strawweight, she's going to go to the flyweight division. Suarez spoke with ESPN last week. We know that she injured her neck, but she also injured her hand when she was almost ready to come back. She's 8-0, hasn't fought since June 2019. She's a former Ultimate Fighter winner. She has wins over Nina Nunez and Carla Esparza. It was a stoppage over Esparza. But you got to think about the flyweight division, right? I mean, it's very shallow right now. There's not a lot of options for Valentina Shevchenko. So for her, you know, you want her to take it slow. Like, we don't need to see her fighting this year for a title. But she doesn't have to win much. Jessica Andrade, she won one fight at the division and fought for a title. So you would think that, you know, come in, get a couple wins, they could definitely fast track her. But gosh, one of the greatest women's fighters ever is the champion there, and just looks like she's far and away above everyone else.
And the question is, though, does Suarez, with her wrestling, have the kind of style that could take on Shevchenko and beat her? And it's quite possible. Like, and it's funny, I had mentioned that earlier, that Carla was the only like collegiate wrestler in the flyweight division, or in the strawweight division. And I said that because Tatiana went up to flyweight. And it's very interesting. And actually, like I said, now there's a someone that you'd like to see against Valentina, and that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Now, what Dana White blocked some fun when he stopped GSP from boxing Oscar De La Hoya in Triller. What's up with that?
Did you just call it Triller?
I don't know.
Come on, it's Triller.
Whatever I said, they don't deserve any respect.
All right, so we discussed this a little bit last week. Dana White refused to answer any questions about Triller from Eddie at the UFC 262 post-fight press conference.
He answered it, but by saying that he wasn't answering them.
Yes, but GSP spoke with Cinema Blend and confirmed that Dana White did block the fight from happening from boxing Oscar for Triller this summer. GSP said, look, he would have donated a lot of money to charity had he done it. He understands why Dana would block him. Last week, Leslie Smith, she attributed that Dana blocking GSP kind of had to go back to, you know, GSP's involvement in that MMA Fighters Union with Bjorn Rebney. Remember, also, Cowboy was in that, TJ Dillashaw was in that, and I don't feel like Dana's been blocking them. But it would have been fun. But Eddie, would you really have wanted to see GSP box, you know, Oscar De La Hoya? What happens if Oscar wins that? That is not great for us.
Yeah, 50-year-old Oscar beating one of the greatest ever? No, that would be bad. But, Yeah, the fact that, you know, the Triller thing is going to happen. You know, they're not paying people as it is, so Dana probably did GSP a favor. He would end up in the red from that fight. Now, lastly, Jordan, this one's actually good news. Diego Sanchez has split from his weirdo coach, Josh Fabia. What's up with that?
Yeah, so last week we heard Diego Sanchez, he terminated his business relationship with Josh Fabia. Josh Fabia no longer had power of attorney, which I don't know why he ever would have needed that. But this is after, like, Diego came out and said that he had to disown his family because they didn't support, what they didn't like Fabia. Diego Sanchez hasn't said anything yet, though. But Fabia has been out there trashing Diego already in the media, said that Diego's been taking advantage of him for 2 years, called him an addict, said other bad things about him. He said that the Nevada State Athletic Commission encouraged Diego to throw the fight against Michael Chiesa, which not the case.
Yeah, that's a huge fight for them to care about.
Yeah. Since being released, though, by the UFC, Diego Sanchez has been in contact with the promotion. He's agreed to participate in the Professional Athletes Brain Health Study, which will be funded by, you know, in part by the promotion. Eddie, I hope this is the end of us talking about Josh Fabia, but unfortunately, I don't feel like it's going to be. So,
yeah, cross your fingers. Yep.
Eddie, hey, congrats to Conor McGregor and his wife, Dee Devlin, who welcomed their third child, Ryan McGregor. And just a quick couple new fights, Kevin Lee versus Sean Brady. Sean Brady's 14-0, ranked 13th in the welterweight division. This is Kevin Lee's welterweight debut, currently ranked 12th in the lightweight division. We mentioned Jose Aldo versus Pedro Munhoz. Juliana Vasquez over in Bellator fighting Denise Kijholtz.
Miss Dynamite.
And
Kijholtz.
Kijholtz. Yep. And then Manny Pacquiao is facing Errol Spence on October 21st in Vegas for the WBC and IBF.
Oh, sorry, before my birthday.
There you go. Eddie, that's new fights. That's what's up with that, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time, what's up with that? What's up with that?
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. Find us at Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook at Fight Night ATX. Eddie, there are no fights this weekend. No Bellator, no UFC, no PFL, no boxing. We're going to come back strong next week, but there is Memorial Day, Eddie. And before we get to your Memorial Day plans, I want to play a little game, what I like to call Two Questions with Eddie Cross.
Eddie. I got two questions for you, Eddie.
All right, Eddie, we got a minute and a half left of the show, but I want to go quick. Memorial Day weekend is a big day for movie releases, at least it used to be, Eddie. What is the highest grossing movie ever on Memorial Day weekend?
Independence Day.
That would be the 4th of July, so that would not make any sense. It's Pirates of the Caribbean 3 at World's End in 2007, made almost $140 million. All right, Eddie.
My second guess was going to be Titanic.
Second question, the annual biker rally in Washington, D.C., each Memorial Day is called what?
I only know the Rot Rally.
That is not.
And the one in Dakota. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's the Rolling Capital Thunder City Bikers. Run, Eddie. The Rolling Thunder Run. So, Eddie, it's been great talking to you. I'm actually going to go out to the lake. It's our first week of going out to the lake. We're taking a boat out.
I didn't even realize there was a holiday coming up. So I have no plans yet. Got to work on that.
Make some good plans. Hey, guys, stay tuned. Justin and Stu, sports guys talking wrestling. I'm sure they're going to break down AEW Double or Nothing, or they're going to preview Double or Nothing. And it's a lot of stuff going on out there. We're going to be back next week. We've got UFC. We've got Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the night, and we will see you next week.
Stay safe, get vaccinated, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.